Greetings and salutations, fine people. I'm Patty Alvarez. Welcome to The Good Soul, a show where we'll have supercharged chats with everyday humans from all walks of life and unpack what in their story will inspire us all. We'll extract the untapped wisdom, distill it, and serve it up to you in all the right ways that will engage, enlighten, and most of all, inspire growth within your soul. I think people are awesome. So join me on this journey through the hearts and minds of ordinary people to uncover the good soul within you. This is The Good Soul. Hello and welcome to The Good Soul. This is episode 10. Our episode is entitled A Charmed Life. And I'm lucky enough to be sitting here with my good friend, Sandy Mari. Welcome, Sandy.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Oh my God, I'm so happy to have you. I've been waiting. You were like at the top of my list when I was kind of constructing all of this. I've wanted to have you. So thank you again for being here.
My pleasure. It's easy to talk to you.
I know. Well, we do it all the time. So we're expert at this. So Sandy is just one of those people. I mean, what is the saying? You want to see your future, show me your friends. I mean, you're that person. You, Simone Strotman, there's certainly some people that I've met since I moved here that really have had this kind of inspirational, really like life-changing friendships for me. So,
that's so nice to hear.
Yeah, well, it's true. I mean, it's true. And it comes very naturally. A charmed life aside, which you lead, I think that our mature friendships that we meet kind of in midlife, they're very uncomplicated. Don't you agree?
Yes.
Yeah, they're very uncomplicated. There's no static of hormonal 20-something, she hooked up with my boyfriend, and I mean,
yes,
I'm sure
those friendships are out there probably, but I think we seek the uncomplicated, and that's what we see.
You see?
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
That's what I seek out, and so that's what I'm surrounded by.
Yeah, I guess that's totally true. So, Sandy, you're extraordinary to me. You're an inspiration to women. You're an inspiration to men.
Anytime you want me to come look at it, I'll be here.
As my mother used to say.
Please,
my
stop.
My mother used to say, go on. No, but you're kind. You're intelligent. You are a stone-cold fox. You're articulate. You're a wife. You're a mother of four kids. Four dogs still or three dogs?
We just lost one, so we're down to three dogs.
Three
now.
Dogs.
Yeah.
And a white couch, which it's the first thing
you said when you walked into our house.
I'm like, a white couch? I know. And at the Christmas party, even Linda was like,
I'm the eternal optimist.
Yeah. And we have a white couch. And we have a white couch. Yep. Yoga teacher.
Yep.
Yoga teacher's teacher. And then, of course, social work. You have your master's in social work. Is that the formal name of your degree before you became a mom? To me, you're a little bit Cindy Crawford, a little bit Dalai Lama. But a little bit Lucille Ball, you know, you have this sense of humor to me that, so again, just an honor to have you. And I hope that all of you will glean as much from this, I don't know, charm gem of a person that I have in my life. So diplomatic, grounded, and truly self-aware is how I would describe you.
Wow. Those are great words.
Yeah. Well, I would say I've never seen you lose your cool.
Just ask my kids.
Like one of your.
I don't lose it often, but I do lose it.
Well, I think something was happening with one of your kids. It was typical routine stuff, and I said, "Sandy, baby, you got to scare them. Like you got to look them in the eyes and give them that." Like
I don't think I've ever really scared my kids.
Yeah,
yeah.
I had an Italian mother, and her eyes would like turn red, and she would start cursing in Italian and bite her finger.
That's how my husband was raised, for sure. Yeah. I don't think I was ever really scared of either of my parents either. But I'll tell you what I was scared of was disappointing them. I was scared of letting them down. And I remember calling my mom years ago and saying, how did you do that? Because I want to do that, like with my kids. And how did you instill that? And she just sort of laughed and said, I really don't know. It wasn't on purpose.
Yeah.
But that's – I was never scared of losing love, of getting hurt, of being abandoned, anything like that. Mm-hmm. I was really scared of letting them down.
You had great parents.
Yeah. I had great parents. Unicorns.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had lightning in a bottle.
And
I know that.
Yeah. Well, it shows in the finished product.
Yeah. I appreciate it every day.
I write in a text probably once every 2 weeks to somebody, if you love me, it's my parents you have to thank. I mean, yeah. They're responsible. Anything you like about me, and I think it really shows through. Okay, yeah. So let's talk about where you grew up. Tell me a little bit about your childhood.
Okay, so born in New York, grew up on the North Shore of Long Island. My parents actually met in college at Syracuse University, which.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, they met, that's right. And I followed in their footsteps and met my husband there as well. But I was raised in New York. And we were raised Christian. We went to a sweet little church every Sunday, my sister and I. I'm the younger one. And then I went to a Quaker high school, and we went to Quaker meeting every week.
You're kidding.
That really, I would say, helped shape my trajectory of social work and just really what I wanted to do with my life. But I will also say I was born, I think, really an empath, really empathetic. And I love that about myself, but it's also, on the flip side, it's made me really sensitive. Okay. And so, like, I can get my feelings hurt really easily, even by my kids. Yeah. You know, my daughter's like, "You're too sensitive, Mom."
Especially the girls. They're mean.
But my mom especially I really had it coming two ways from my mom and my dad. My mom taught me to think about other people. Like when we were sad as teenagers or we'd get grumpy or depressed, she would say stuff like, instead of like, what can you do for yourself or what can I do for you? She would say, what have you done for someone else lately? Mm-hmm. Like it makes you feel good to help other people. And as a little kid, she started with that lesson. And I just think that took me on this path, and then followed by the Quaker philosophy.
Can you can I just ask you a little bit about the Quaker philosophy?
Yeah.
I had no idea about that. And were your parents kind of game on that? Like,
My dad went to the same school.
Oh, he did.
And my aunt and my uncle and my cousins.
Okay.
Yeah, and my grandparents were on the board. And so the Quaker philosophy is like, to me, along the same parallel as Buddhism, and it. Their three main principles are simplicity, equality, and pacifism. So they believe there's an inner light in everybody. They were the first people to fight for prison reform. They were the first people to ever go into prisons and try to mentor people. They believe that there's goodness in everybody. It can be found. They were also the first in the plight for women to vote. And they also helped tremendously with like the Underground Railroad and all that because they believe in equality.
Is it Jesus based?
It's Christian. Based? It is Christian.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And how has that meshed into your yoga learnings?
Tremendously. I took like those lessons with me, and really, I kind of finished sewing up who I was by the end of high school. Like, I knew this is what I want to do with my life. I knew this, it resonated with me as a kid, and it still resonates with me now. It's what I believe. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, as you get into yoga, all the parallels, it's like, oh, you know, this is what's preached in yoga too. This is what, you know, the Buddha used to teach as well. And it's what my mom taught me
too.
Yeah.
Well,
it all ties up. You know what the saying is? The paths are many, but
the destination.
The truth is one.
Oh, yeah. The truth is one.
Yeah,
okay.
The paths are many, but the truth is one.
Were you a leader growing up? Did you like student count? You weren't.
No, I was in
so
every
articulate.
Club. Yeah. I loved to be a part of things, but I have an innate like that sensitivity and shyness that kept me, I think, from really standing out and being a leader.
Yeah, it fascinates me that you're not, because I know when I'm in your class and as the owner of the studio, I just kind of like to check out the tricks. And you'll be going on this long, like, diatribe soliloquy, and I'll, like, be in my child's pose, and I'll peek up, and I'm like, she's not reading anything. That's off the top of her pretty little head.
Oh.
So, coming up, we have Being Every Woman, which I think Sandy really manages to handle very well. So, we will see you shortly. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Good Soul. This is episode 10, A Charmed Life. I'm here with my good friend, Sandy Mari. Welcome back.
Thank you.
So Sandy, to me, really personifies every woman, all things good. As I said, a little bit Dalai Lama, a little bit Cindy Crawford, a little bit Lucille Ball. And I'm sure there's a lot of other versions of you that we can talk about.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. So in light of that, I want to read out loud something to you that you said you're not really familiar with.
And
I
think
this not only will speak to the women, but I think it's also going to speak to the men who are fathers and husbands and brothers and coworkers. So this is Gloria's speech to Barbie during the Barbie movie.
Yeah, I still haven't seen it.
Yeah. You haven't seen the Barbie movie?
I know. I haven't seen it yet.
What?
Well, I have three boys and a husband and one daughter, and the daughter's away. When we sat down to watch it, the boys stole the remote.
I know. Well, boys will argue things about that movie, which depending on.
I think they would have enjoyed it. They just didn't feel like watching it.
You got to take it lightly.
Listen,
it's really
funny. Listen, I watched Roadhouse this weekend with my
son. That was awesome with Jake Gyllenhaal.
Yeah.
We watched that. I was riveted. Yes. How adorable is he?
Oh, he's so cute. My God.
Well, he was on Howard probably a week ago. And I was riveted by his interview.
So I heard about really that good. Interview. Yeah, I just listened to him on the Smartlist podcast also.
Yeah, it was really good.
He was so cute.
He was really good. So, I had three sisters and a father who was a workaholic, or two sisters and a father was a workaholic. So when people are like, you've never seen Star Wars? I'm like, why would have I ever seen Star Wars? Like, it's the last thing my mother would have put on for us.
No, yeah.
So, but anyway, fasten your seatbelts. Give me your attention because this to me is brilliant. It is literally impossible to be a woman. You are so beautiful and so smart, and it kills me that you don't think you're good enough. Like we have to always be extraordinary, but somehow we're always doing it wrong. You have to be thin, but not too thin. And you can never say you want to be thin. You have to say you want to be healthy, but also you have to be thin. You have to have money, but you can't ask for money because it's crass. You have to be a boss, but you can't be mean. You have to lead, but you can't squash other people's ideas. You're supposed to love being a mother, but don't talk about your kids all the damn time. You have to be a career woman, but also be looking out for other people. You have to answer for men's bad behavior, which is insane, but if you point that out, you're accused of complaining. You're supposed to stay pretty for men, but not so pretty that you tempt them too much or that you threaten other women because you're supposed to be part of a sisterhood. But always stand out and always be grateful. But never forget that the system is rigged. So find a way to acknowledge that, but also be grateful. You have to never get old, never be rude, never show off, never be selfish, never fall down, never fail, never show fear, never get out of line. It's too hard. It's too contradictory, and nobody gives you a medal or says thank you. And it turns out, in fact, that not only are you doing everything wrong, but also that everything is your fault.
Oof.
I'm just so tired of watching myself and every single other woman. I'm getting such hard goosebumps.
I know.
Tie herself into knots so that people will like us. And if all of that is also true for a doll, meaning Barbie, just representing women, then I don't even know.
Wow.
Lots to unpack. Well, it was one Gloria in the Barbie movie. So what's her name? That adorable girl.
America
Ferrara.
Yeah,
America Ferrara. So I guess a big reason why I wanted to read that out loud is because I will say, and this is a big reason why I call the podcast A Charmed Life, and is because you really do have a lot of that figured out, Sandy. In my opinion, as your peer, as somebody that's around you and works with you, I feel like you do have a lot of that stuff figured out. But how did that whole thing make you feel, what you just heard? And I know it's a lot.
Super validated. I will say that, like we talked about my parents before, I was really blessed. I hit the jackpot with them. I grew up with a dad who told my sister and I literally every day, you can do anything. You know, like we joke, like I look sometimes and was like, I could be president. Like my dad said I could do anything, sure. You know.
Well, and Nikki Haley can attempt.
But like always, he was like, you can do anything you put your mind to, always. And my mom was constantly just supporting us, supporting our dreams and doing all the stuff to set us up for success in that, like, she would cook everything organic and from scratch before that was popular. She would never buy us like the Jordache jeans or wait in line for the Cabbage Patch doll. She never fell like to those sort of societal traps.
And was that a problem for you at any point?
Oh my gosh. I was like, I just want a bologna sandwich on white bread for Christ's sakes. You know, and
what would you get in place of that?
I didn't get it. Oh my gosh. She would like roast a hunk of meat and slice it. We got blocks of Vermont cheddar. Like we didn't even get cold cuts. Mm. She would make her own bread. She made her own yogurt. She made her own jelly. As a kid, it was like, I just want like some Haagen-Dazs, you know, and I didn't appreciate it. And
I just have to say, I remember listening to Oprah. She was interviewing Maya Angelou and they were talking and she said she was really jealous of the kids who got to eat canned vegetables.
Yes.
Because they had to eat vegetables from the garden.
I didn't even know what a canned vegetable was, I think, till like I went to somebody else's house.
Yeah.
You know, but they set us up to experience all this stuff. They had us volunteering all the time, like not for points or for a club or for a college application. We just did that, you know, and we handed out peanut butter and jelly sandwiches with our school at Grand Central Station, 9 o'clock at night. Like we were exposed to all that kind of stuff. So I didn't know really what I had until I was an adult.
How did that translate into your parenting skills?
I really try to emulate it most of the time. I joke to my mom that because I was deprived my entire childhood, I am like a closet candy whore, as you know. I have candy in every hiding place.
Skittles. No.
Yes.
She has Skittles in her
pocket. In my pocket.
Unwrapped. Right? We were at Cirque du Soleil and she's like, Patty, look.
They were warm.
They were warm Skittles. Yeah.
I mean, I have... like I hide from my kids. I go in the pantry and like stick Swedish fish in my mouth as I'm like cooking, sauteing vegetables.
That's a great point though you bring up.
So yeah.
You do have weaknesses.
Oh, for sure. Oh. But I try to emulate the kind of parents that my parents were. And I definitely sought out a really strong, confident, loving man, just like my dad. Mm-hmm. Because now as an adult, I so appreciate the way I was brought up. Definitely.
Of course. Of course. And your father and Lindo seem like different personality types, but I'm guessing their core value system
is very similar. Their core values are so similar. My mom and I joke, like when the two of them get together, it's like they forget we're around. But at face value, they're very different. My dad wore a suit every day, went into the office. You know, as far as athletic, he was a tennis player and a skier and like – that was kind of it. Now he plays golf a little bit, whereas my husband grew up like with a ball at his feet. He was first generation Italian immigrant family, first generation American. Mm-hmm. I mean, on a field literally since he could walk.
Did his parents encourage that or was that just natural?
No, his dad, like there's videos of him barely walking and his dad's rolling a ball to him,
right.
Kick it back, you know. And
did you have a sport?
I played everything. I was jack of all trades, but master of none. Okay. I was super active, but not an athlete at all, but super active. And I would go for runs. I like to work out on my own, stuff like that. But I was never, like, I got most valuable player. I got most improved player.
Oh, okay.
On a softball team.
Everybody gets a trophy or a Sonoma.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm only kidding.
But okay, he was like a super strong athlete. He's jacked, you know, my husband. So like if you looked at the two men, you would think they were so different.
Yeah.
But their core values, man, are
very similar.
Yeah, very similar.
You have a sister.
She's a couple years older.
Three and
a half years older.
Okay. Yep.
She's two beautiful boys.
Yes.
Yep.
Her name is Brooke. Yes. And we did mention also that Sandy has four kids.
Yes.
You want to just give us the
three boys, one girl. I have 21, 19, 17, and next month 14. Great. And it's boy, girl, boy, boy.
Boy, girl, boy, boy.
Yes.
Okay, so take me to Syracuse University, 1993-ish, two-ish? When did you guys meet?
I graduated in 97, and he graduated in 96, but he's 2 years older than me. He redshirted. He had a little bit of a journeyman start to his college career, so he just did his last 2 years at Syracuse.
Okay. Did he go into Syracuse planning on playing ball?
He had a full scholarship, but funny enough, his scholarship was for punting. And he ended up being a professional kicker.
Okay. I'm hoping eventually I could talk to him at some point. If not, no pressure, Lindo.
Oh, he's chatty Cathy.
But it's a really cool, I mean, yeah, these are more questions for my husband, but it's fun. These are fun questions. Well, you don't realize it because you're in the front seat, but to a random person, they're like, oh my God, that's really cool.
No, he's got a great story. He does.
Yeah, and, especially.
And, like myself.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or success and just seeing people get to the top of the, and you studied.
Yes, I studied, I was political science and psychology major with a minor in French.
Okay.
So random. And then I went to graduate school for psychiatric social work, got a master's degree in that. I worked for a few years postgraduate, then started having babies. And
where
then
did
we
you
started
work?
Moving.
Where did you work? Easy, easy.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, whoa, Nelly. Where did you work? In the city or?
I worked in Miami. I worked in a hospital. First, I started out in the foster care, working for the state and termination of parental rights.
Oops, okay, that's right. It happens to people all the time.
Termination of parental rights and foster care. And then I switched over to more mental health.
Okay.
And I loved the inpatient, outpatient stuff that I did in mental health. It was really stimulating.
Okay.
And I really loved that. And that's kind of where I finished off.
Okay. Yeah. We're going to hit pause here. You look exactly like Kayla right now.
Oh, that's such a compliment.
Yeah. So coming up, NFL wifing, and of course the fairy tale aspect of it and the sacrifices of it. So we will see you shortly. Welcome back, friend, to The Good Soul. This is episode 10. We are talking to Sandy Mari about her charmed life and what we can learn from her. And God knows I've already learned a lot, not only knowing her, but in the first two segments of the show.
Aw.
So we didn't mention this, really. We might have hinted to it, but Sandy is an NFL wife. Which, yeah, there is so much more to her. And I think the reason why I didn't bring it up right away is because I never wanted you or your husband or your family to think that me personally was ever kind of, I don't want to say taking advantage of that or I don't know what, kind of showcasing that. But the reality is, it's really freaking exciting.
Yeah.
You know, it's a really...
It's pretty cool.
Well, it is. And I think that while you're in it, you don't realize it watching it from the front row.
Yeah, right,
your
probably.
Husband's career. And I'll say maybe at this point, I haven't been friends with you while he was actively playing, but even seeing from the second row, hearing you talk about, then he got transferred to Portland, to the Saints or whatever he's doing. Like I'm saying, oh, I went out and bought a new pair of Nikes. Yeah. Like it's really, really exciting. And I'm going to read something to you that I read from a retired Seattle Seahawks. And I didn't put in my notes who wrote this, but it was a ESPN interview of an NFL wife. The space that NFL wives reserve for each other is safe and sacred. Women can be real, express fears, doubts, and dreams without the fear of judgmental media or friends from outside of the game who may assume that your husband is in the NFL. Your problems and concerns are no longer valid. Most NFL wives know that money in the bank is not the answer to happiness, and that they need women to understand that their that in their lives, so they can be better, so they can better understand themselves.
Yeah, that's. I would love to know who said that because it's 100% true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How? Why don't we get in a little bit into Lindo's career without getting too crazy?
So he left college before me. He was not drafted. We sat on that couch in his parents' house.
That's what I was
the draft.
Ask you.
Just watching the rounds go by. And he was not drafted. He was signed right after to the New York Giants, and which worked out well because it was only like 4 hours, I think, from Syracuse for that last year. So I could drive down and see him.
Did he play with Christian Peter by any chance, or you don't remember?
I don't know because he didn't play with the Giants. He ended up staying on the practice squad the first year. They kept Brad DeLuiso, and it was awesome experience for him because he could learn behind Brad, who was great. And then
– Did you move with him to New York, New Jersey for that?
No, because I was still in college.
Okay.
So then right when he finished the season, he went home to Florida basically to wait and see because, long story short, his coach at the Giants was Dan Reeves, amazing man. Mm-hmm. And he said, he called Linda into his office and he was like, you know, they're letting me go. And Linda was like, oh my God, I'm on the practice squad. Where, you know, what about, mm-hmm. what's going to happen to me? And he said, I put in a few calls with people that I'm close to because I really, he saw something in him. He said, I see something in you and I know you can make it in this league. And he really mm-hmm. believed in him. And he, one of his friends that he called was Jimmy Johnson. And so Linda went home. He signed with the Miami Dolphins, which was like the biggest deal ever. It was 10 minutes from where he grew up, literally.
Wow. Yeah, he grew up in Cooper City. Mm-hmm. Cooper City.
And so he had to battle it out in training camp against another kicker, and he won the spot. And in true Jimmy Johnson fashion, there was no like big way to tell him. He walked by him in the locker room, and he just looked at him and basically was like, you keep your mouth shut, you work hard, don't F this up. And okay. Linda was like, I think that means I made it. Like, yeah. And he's like, and the next thing, like, Joe wasn't in the locker room.
Oh, wow.
Like, that was basically how he found out. And then, so then he proposed to me while I was in graduate school.
And where did you go to grad school?
I started in New York, but when he proposed, we just really wanted to be together. So I moved, I transferred schools, and I moved down to Miami to be with him.
Like Molly and Squeaky.
And yeah.
You were Squeaky.
I finished graduate school down there, and we ended up staying there. For 10 years. He played for 10 years for the Dolphins. So we got married and had three of our children while we were down there.
He broke a lot of records. I didn't realize that until...
A lot. And he held them almost all until like recently. I think he only holds like one or two.
Well, one or two is more than I have. I mean, when we were... I remember the first time I was at your house and Manny wasn't with me. And I was like, my husband, I tell you this all the time. I'm like, I think if there's anything in the world he could do, the way he's looking at me right now with his eyes, it's that he wish he could have played professional ball.
I think and a most lot, men, yeah, yes. a lot but of little to, boys.
But literally, like, we'll be out and we've had people come up to my husband if he has a jersey on, like, or a Bama
t-shirt. He's tall, he's built.
And they go, who'd you play for?
Yeah.
Like, he has the vibe. He has the vibe. So at any rate, I said, you got to get over there because I don't know what it means.
Linda was very well honored, especially with the Dolphins. And like you said, he broke a lot of records. And in the day, Jimmy used to give game balls, they were called, like as an award. And so we have.
Have you ever counted them?
I know. I probably should just to keep track. But it's. And Lindo's so humble. At first, he was like, I don't want to put them all out. I don't want my house to be a shrine to me. But I was like, you know, it's neat. It's, you know, it's cool. Especially but I was like, the kids are proud. Yeah. And the kids want to see it. And I put it up.
You did. Okay. It's not like he was like Johnny Cash hanging Carter's picture.
He wasn't hammering.
I didn't do it. Yeah. Well, it just.
Well, he really wants it.
It's just so cool.
I would want it too.
Yeah.
No, I don't.
But to know Lindo, he's a perfect gentleman. He is not one of those
like
people.
He's so humble.
Yeah, he is. He's very, very, like, he's very, I wouldn't say a man of few words, but he's, you know that his wife did it. You know that he wasn't like, check out my stuff. So.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're 1999 are we at when you guys get engaged?
Exactly.
Okay,
1999. We got married in 2000.
I love the proposal story.
Oh my God.
I think it's really funny.
Just it's so him. Like no bells and
no pomp and circumstance.
We got lost going to a special restaurant. He had practice that day or lifting. He was tired and super hungry. And we were lost for like almost 2 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, including the drive to get where we were going.
And do you get nervous when he's mad?
Very.
I get nervous when Manny's mad.
Yeah, he has never hurt me.
Yeah,
I don't ever think he's going to hurt me.
No, he won't.
And yet when he gets mad, I get very anxious. Yeah, there's just something about him
that's funny.
Like scary, intimidating.
Well, Italian, Spanish, very similar.
And he pulled over on the side of the road and went around to the trunk. And I was like, what's he getting? Like a granola bar or something?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, my car door opens and I look down and he's on his knee on the side of the road. Rear the ring.
Car's going by.
I was like, oh my God.
He's got to do it. Well, I guess he had to break the mood.
Yep.
Okay, so take me through his career. 1997 to 2012, was it, I read?
Oh gosh.
Somewhere around there, I think it was.
Yeah.
Somewhere around there. So he went from the Giants to the Dolphins.
2012 or 2013, but yeah. So he went to the Giants, then to the Dolphins for 10 years. Then he was traded, which is really interesting when you're traded. You have no say-so. You don't get to go. Like, they own you, and they just sold you. And so I was literally laying by the pool while the babies were napping. I had like a 1 hour break, and I was so anxious, waiting with the phone in hand. And he was on the golf course, and he it was right after the current coach for the Dolphins, the new coach, had basically told him, like, you're a Dolphin for life, like, this is gonna be so great. His agent called him on the golf course and was like, hey bud, they just traded you.
Oh, wow.
So that's how we found out. Literally, like, after he called me, I turned on the TV and it was on the ticker. So, like, we found out minutes before everybody else found out. So we moved to New Orleans. I had just given birth to our third child. So we moved to New Orleans when he was just a few months old.
Okay, I'm going to ask you to hit pause because this is one of my favorite stories.
Yeah.
Imagine this.
The fans. The fans in every stadium are so different. Like, New York was so cool, so different. Miami, totally different. New Orleans was, they live, eat, and breathe. When we first moved in.
Like, Steelers fans, Raiders
fans.
Oh
my gosh. People were like dropping off bottles of wine and food and everything at our front door and stopping by and waving. Everybody, it was eerie. Like, everybody knew who we were when we moved in. And he missed I think it was a game-winning kick. And like,
wait, didn't they say, okay, so you said you took the kids out of, they had like
that's
little
right.
kitty
they had
care.
A family, they had a really nice setup for family if you had kids and you were, you know.
Place to put the kids.
Exactly. And I would bring the kids out sometimes towards the end of the game because they just couldn't sit still that long, but it was fun for them to watch. And our best friends were in town, thank God. And he missed a kick. And I mean, they were MFing, and I hope you die.
Yes. Oh, Linda,
my kids, my sweet little daughter was like, Mommy, are they talking about daddy?
It's one of my favorite stories. And wait, another story I love.
I mean, they were throwing fruit like out of like oranges.
But wait,
didn't
they like stop picking your garbage up if he like missed
so
a kick?
So we came home that night. It was kind of like down low. Our landscaper never showed up again. Ever. Just never showed up.
That
ever.
Is funny.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. And,
maybe that's
and, like,
why he
I
likes
think
mowing
one week
the lawn
they
now.
Didn't, they didn't clean up our, take our garbage or something. I forget. But it was like neighbors stopped honking and waving.
That's crazy.
Oh, yeah.
People get
it. What?
Another good one is you were at some event with Tom Brady and like a week later you were talking to him. And I don't know if Giselle was there at the time. But
no, he was with Bridget at the time. They were just dating.
Okay.
We were all so young. I don't even think I had kids yet at that point when I met Tom.
Okay.
And he was so sweet, so personable, so talkative. And and then like four days later, we saw him again someplace else at like Nobu in Miami. He was like, Stacy, right? I was like, yep.
Her name is Sandy, in case you forgot. You can call me whatever you want.
I was not
going
to correct him. Yeah. He was so cute. Yeah.
Right after this, what do we do with all of these gifts? Life advice, and let's talk manifesting. So don't go away. Hello, friend. Welcome back to The Good Soul. This is episode 10, and I can't believe we're already on our final segment. Time went too fast.
It always does.
I know. It's so much fun. We were just saying we could probably sit here and talk about this for hours. Not only hours, but we could probably make like a dozen episodes out of the conversations we have. So we're talking about a charmed life, and I think kind of the overarching message and really the original reason why I wanted to have you on is because what fascinates me so much about you, Sandy, is with all the gifts that you have kind of been given and the lack of trauma, I would say. I mean, would you agree?
Yeah.
The lack of trauma.
Yeah.
That you've turned out to be one of the most extraordinary human beings I know. You're easy. You're sweet. I've never heard you say a bad word about anybody. Listen, I don't know. There may be people that you grew up with or that you know that would argue that. But in my opinion, and I think I'm a pretty good judge of character, and that fascinates me about you. And just simple conversations and hearing what you have to say about your life and your events. And yeah, the whole your husband played for the NFL, that is an exciting thing. But I'd love to know also, too, was there a downside to that at all? I mean, you went, and I'm not being negative. I don't want to sound like I'm trying to be scandalous. But was there a downside at all for you? Or was it your absolute honor and pleasure to be by his side?
Yeah. You know, I wouldn't say there was really a downside. I would say there was compromises that had to be made. But compromises are made in really every good marriage.
Absolutely.
And that was, I stopped working because we moved so often to new states, and what I did, I had to be relicensed in each state. Mm-hmm. But truthfully, I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. Like, I always wanted to be a mom full-time. I might have worked maybe part-time too, but it was not like a downside at all. Mm-hmm. And you know, the old adage says, like, money can't buy happiness. I don't necessarily agree with that. Money buys better healthcare. Money buys better ways to travel. Money buys just like a sense and ease of life. And so, yeah, he made great money. And to say that, you know, we had difficulties, we had no other difficulties that anyone else on this planet, you know, would have had to experience. And we had the money to deal with it.
Okay. But let me just interject and say that there are a lot of people who make a lot of money and don't create the world that you and your husband have created. And don't you forget that.
Yeah.
That it's really what you do with what you're
giving. I think
we're
really lucky because we met so young and we continued to grow up, and we grew up together. We really did grow together. Our values have stayed the same. What we want out of life has really always been the same for the most part. We have totally different love languages, which is a whole fun podcast you should do. Totally different love languages.
Well, maybe you guys will be our guinea pig.
Yeah, we are like we joke, Lucy and Desi. But the whole point of me saying that is we're both really simple, and we both believe like there's just so much goodness in people and in life. And if you just focus on that, then that's – yeah, that's what comes to you, too.
Well, and P.S., you both aged very well, too. So you're nice. It's good to look at each other.
That's great.
Let's talk about – I mean, we didn't even get into that. Again, a whole nother episode, but the Mari Foundation. Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, again, that – we both wanted that, which is so interesting. He was kind of brought into that through the NFL and had friends that had foundations, and he just saw how much good they could do, and he loved that. And then there was me coming in it from the side of, you know, my parents always taught us, when you have a lot, you give a lot. And my dad always used to say that to us. He used to even joke with taxes, like, if they're taking money, you're making money.
It's a good
be
problem.
Be grateful.
My father used to say it's
always
a good
just
problem.
Be grateful.
Yeah.
And they instilled gratitude in us from the get-go. And so it's just how I always sort of thought and wanted to live my life. We always volunteered. We always did stuff. And so we came at it kind of from two different ways, but we both wanted to try this. Now, we didn't really know what we were doing.
So who is benefiting from the work of the Mari Foundation?
So we picked a charity that we have really just kind of stayed with to partner, and it's the Children's Homes of Iredell County.
Okay.
And we picked it because it's small. It's run by people who really care, and it's like, you can make a tangible difference. Like,
so
I know
homes?
Where our money goes to. So, yeah. So, I think right now they have 4 or 5 homes up and running, and they're run as group homes, but not like an orphanage. It's run like a family house. They have one sort of main person who acts as the parent who lives in the house. You know, they have subs and relief, obviously, but the kids, they function in that house as a family, and it's really, it's wonderful.
About how many children per house?
I think the boys have the most. I would say on average it's like 6 to 8 per house.
Okay. So every year, Sandy and Lindo host a event. It wasn't a masquerade ball last year, was it?
No, last year I think it was fall
like
themed.
Fall
we
themed.
Just did like nautical type
okay.
stuff. Yeah.
But at Trump National in Mooresville, Trump Charlotte, I should say, they put on an event. So that's that's, I would imagine that's the primary fundraiser for the whole, or do people
it
randomly
is.
Send money throughout the year?
We do raise money a little bit throughout the year, but that's been huge for us because the whole Trump organization has been like so generous in giving us, you know, we pay a little bit, but not like we would pay to rent out the space. And they're just so accommodating for us. Yeah. So we're able to keep a lot of the money, you know, that we raise to then donate towards the children's homes.
Sure. So rather than paying for the prime rib or the
horseradish, we don't pay like the prime rate to rent out the place, you know, and they'll throw in, you know, wait staff for us that we don't have to pay, or they'll throw in.
You pay the prime
like
rate and your dues every month, with Sandy.
Yeah. We pay.
You pay. Yeah, we pay. Just not that way.
But
no,
we
I'm
pay personally.
Kidding.
Yeah. No, the money we raise from everybody, we're really able to give.
Yeah.
And it's oh my gosh, it's been such like an honor, really. Yeah. And don't get me wrong, it's not like altruistic. Like, it feels good to give. It does. It feels really good. You can be proud of yourself. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, there's a silent auction. So, guys, we'll keep announcing, and we're going to do all kinds of kind of announcements, and also through WSIC, we can get them involved in your event.
That'd be awesome.
But the Mari Foundation is benefiting, again, the Children's Homes of Iredell County, and come the fall, you'll be hearing more from me about that.
Yeah.
So just pencil that into your calendar and into your budget, maybe. So let's get back to the personal stuff.
Yeah.
So retirement. What was that like when Linda retired? Because I just have to say one quick thing. The first thing I asked Brad Maynard when I met him was, do they have programs for retired athletes?
Yeah, that's great.
Like, what are you going to do with your life? You have this bucket of money, you know, hopefully a big bucket of money. What do you do now? You're in your late 20s, early 30s.
So, yeah. And unfortunately, fortunately for us, my husband had a 17-year career, which is like unheard of. Yeah, it's super, super rare. A lot of these guys have like 3-4 years and, you know, they're done. And they have some programs. They try to help kind of in the beginning of what to do with your money and who to stay away from and to try to help navigate it. But at that point, those guys are young and they're in it.
Yeah.
They have nothing. I shouldn't say nothing. They have very little for after.
Okay. So let's just remember, though, when I talk to my friends who are, you know, they're cheerleading obsessed with their kids and hockey obsessed with their kids, you may not have necessarily tangible skills to take with you out of the NFL, let's say. Like, maybe you could be a coach, or maybe you can go on Fox Sports. But God, how many habits, how many positive traits. I mean, you don't get to the NFL.
My husband's got to study under some amazing coaches, college coaches, you know, and then professional coaches, that he still, like, he'll quote coaches to our kids, you know.
I believe it.
Yeah.
So I was going to say this to you earlier. I think about it with Anne-Marie a lot. I want to have her on. I would love to talk about her whole supermom vibe.
Yeah.
It's a blip in time, and you are just about to become an empty nester. Within the next 5 years, you're going to send your youngest to college, and you're going to see the skies are going to open up, and life is going to change a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, who'd have thought?
I'm a little nervous.
Well, don't be.
I'm excited and nervous.
I know you're working on writing a book, which is fantastic.
Yeah, I've been working on that for a long time.
Well, now, listen, listen, we will sit down and on a cocktail napkin, I will help zhuzh you. Like, we're going to get that. You have a lot of great years ahead of you. Both of you do. So look forward to that. I always say, who would have thought I would have started a podcast? The reason I started this podcast is because I would like to be in Congress someday. I would like to be,
be
a representative and perhaps, president.
Your
of the
daddy
United
told
States.
You could.
Yeah, and I'm not even laughing. I mean, honestly, so, and my platform is unifying, and you're never going to know what I don't like about my opponent because I don't want to talk about it. I'm going to talk about what
most
I'm going to do.
Most opponents are worthy. Like, they didn't get there by mistake either. We talk about that all the time.
Of course.
Basic respect.
That's a great episode, too. So, that being said, life is going to take you into some really great places. And I feel like your best years are ahead of you for both you and your husband and your children. And also that, oh God, where was I going with this? I just totally lost my train of thought. Your best years are ahead of you, and just get excited. I think that's the most important thing. But I think what your advantage is, and this is what I was going to say, that your advantage is your ability to just articulate wisdom and really apply that wisdom and philosophy in plain English into real life.
Yeah.
That I'm not kidding you, Sandy. What is it? I would say every other class somebody, two people, three people come out and say, will you text me what you read out loud?
I know. It makes me feel so good when that happens. Sometimes it's just something I said, or sometimes it is something I read.
But to be able to be the catalyst for that information too. Sandy, you got the magic, baby, and don't you forget it.
Oh, my gosh.
You really do.
I'm going to go home with my chest all puffed out.
Well, listen, I think, I don't know, maybe I see a Charm Life part two in the future. I don't know. I feel like we have so much
lots
more
of fun
to talk
stories,
about.
Yeah.
But Sandy, a million thanks for you being here. I love you to the moon and back.
I love you right
and
back.
I mean that. I want to thank all of you guys for joining us today. It's always our hope to leave you in a better place than when you got here. So DM us on social media if you have any questions or comments. Like, comment, share, and keep coming back. You can check us out on WSIC FM from Saturday 9 to 10 a.m. or at Good Soul Hot Yoga in the rectangle in Mooresville. So we'll see you next for episode 11. Peace. All the best.
Peace out.